going on, baby? Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Before You Bet, airing right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. So got off to a flying start there with our picks on Monday. I went 4-1 overall, 3-0 with my NBA picks. John Mettler also went 3-0 with his NBA picks. We swept our NBA picks yesterday. Sweet boys, sweet boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you, sweet boys? Let's try to do it again today. We bring in our guy, John Mettler. John, how you doing on this beautiful Tuesday? April Fool's Day, John.
Yeah, I was thinking of producer Mick in the background. I think you gotta ignore X Day and anything you see sports related, the amount of jokes. I'm like, honestly, don't laugh. I don't think it's funny at all. Like the April Fool's stuff, it's too much. It's like, don't. On a, someone's like main account, don't send me like a, this guy's out for the year type thing. So I don't like it, but whatever.
Yeah, some fun people piece. Are so extremely lame. If you're gonna do something like these, here's a grand announcement today, and it's something totally stupid. It's like, fuck off. Like, you know, we don't have time for this. It's a fun thing for little kids. My kids and my wife orchestrated something where they put vinegar in my coffee.
Yeah, that's
funny. Morning, and they enjoyed it. It was funny. It was a harmless little prank, right? It's something for kids and families. But hopefully we won't be go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's funny. But like if you're like an account I rely on for like injury news or something, don't tweet out a joke because I'm trying to place bets, trying to get information and stuff. So I don't want to see any injury jokes or anything like that. So that's funny. That's what April Fool's is meant to be, not the – don't hit me with the, if you're like a popular account who people use for information, don't make jokes today.
Yeah, it's lazy. If you're going to do something creative that takes a little bit of effort. Okay, John, hopefully we won't be playing any pranks on people with these picks here today. Hopefully another winning night in store. So let's get right into the action. Let's start things off with probably the best game of the night in the NBA. We go to Denver with the Timberwolves are in town, and I'm going to take the underdog. Oof, oof, oof. Give me the T-Wolves, plus 2.5. So a couple different reasons to back them here tonight. First of all, they've really had their number. They've beaten the shit out of them in recent matchups. They beat them by 20 on March 12th, by 29th on January 25th. 5 straight wins against them overall. Statistically, they have been the much better team as well. 4th versus 17th in net rating over the last 10 games. The T-Wolves much better on the defensive end. Really starting to ramp up here with the playoffs right around the corner here as well. I do like the fact that they're coming off of that game against the Pistons where they had that big fight. I think that's something that can bring a team together, has them playing with a little bit of an edge going into this matchup versus a rival. They've also been a really good bet as an underdog, covering in 64.7% of games as a dog. I believe that's the 3rd best mark in the NBA. The Nuggets have been an awful bet at home, 1-9 ATS in their last 10 games. Pretty beat up here, too. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, both questionable. Now, I'm making this bet under the assumption that they will play. But if one or both of those guys sits out, looks to be a pretty good spot here for the T-Wolves either way. So we'll take them to take care of business. Cover the spread. Let's go over east here. Blazers, Hawks. Prop you like for this game, John?
Yeah, I'm going on Onyeka Okongwu over 2.5 assists, big plus price here, plus 145 for Okongwu. So we've talked about this before. We just placed a bet on his points prop the other day. Now we're going to go after the assist prop. They're without Clint Capella. He's out for multiple weeks. He's their starting center. He's seeing minutes. He's like 30 plus minutes a night. They basically need his size in the tier. They don't really have anyone else. He is undersized. He's only like 6'9", and tonight they're playing the Trailblazers. So when you look at Okongwu, he actually is like a pretty decent passer. Like he's not Nikola Jokic. It's 2.5 for a reason, but he sets up so many pick and rolls with Trae Young. He's on the floor. He gets touches. He does swing the ball. He's also surrounded by a lot of shooters like Zachary Risache is knocking down shots right now. George Niang, it flows for an opportunity for potential assists to knock down shots. I think what really caught my eye here is one, his minutes should be here because Donovan Clingan is like a 7, I don't know how tall he is. I mean, he's like 7'3", 7'4", and he's on the interior for the Trailblazers. He's their starting center. So they're going to need his size. But I think the other thing too is when Okongwu catches the ball in the pick and roll, I don't know how many shots he's going to take in the paint around Clingan. Like he's really undersized compared to Clingan. I feel like it could be like a dribble and a swing. So I feel like his potential assist could be higher just because of Clingan kind of forcing that. And because he's so undersized in this matchup. And You look at his potential assists the last five games, he's averaging about 4.7. So you need three to get over. It's big plus price. It's pretty like on point with what you would expect. It's nothing crazy. You'd love to see, obviously, like he's averaging eight potential assists, but 4.7 is like a decent number. So it's very much possible. I think the matchup really, really plays for him though in this spot, because I think Klingon's going to force him to pass a lot. So I like the over for Okongwu.
Okay, next we go to Chicago for one of my all-time favorite bets, regardless of the sport. It is a Jakob Poeltl over, number at 14.5. A lot of ammo to back this one. Back that last week, we're going to do it again. So first of all, how about a little bit of goddamn respect? 14.5? Come on now. Second of all, he's coming off a fantastic month of March where he topped this number in 7 of 8 games, including having 20 points or 20 plus points in back-to-back games. So the way Toronto is managing the roster, they're kind of tanking. They're kind of beating up on the bad teams. But they're doing this thing with him. He's essentially playing just every other game. And RJ Barrett is taking off the games where he is sitting. RJ Barrett leads the team in shot attempts. So as a result of him sitting, that's opening up more opportunities for guys like Poeltl to get their shots, to just have more opportunities to score. Now, he does the bulk of his scoring in the paint. Around, I think it's 81% of his points have come in the paint this season. Fantastic matchup against the Chicago Bulls, who allow the most points in the paint in the NBA this season. So we're going to back our guy once again over 14.5. Let's go down to Texas. Magic Spurs. Franz Wagner? Or is it Franz Wagner, John?
We're going Franz Wagner over 23.5 points. Did open 22.5. Still love it at 23.5. He was sitting at like 25.5 for multiple games here. So it's dropped down 2 points. Is the second night of a back-to-back. But I think the matchup here, and obviously the Magic need wins. They're one of those teams, they need to get into the 7th seed, the play-in tournament, host that game. And even if they don't get to that spot, they probably also maybe have their eye. The Milwaukee Bucks are fading here and they're the 6th seed. So Magic are not a team that's tanking. They need wins. They need to push minutes for starters. And Franz Wagner is one of those guys they will do it with. You're looking at the matchup. So when this Magic typically play the San Antonio Spurs, really bad matchup for them, because you have Victor Wembanyama on the inside. Then you have his shot blocking, and then other guys who can also guard. That hurts them because Franz Wagner and Banchero like to go to the rim. This matchup, there's no Wembanyama. Jeremy Sochan is your starting center. Sochan is a good defender, but he'll probably be on Banchero. So then you're looking at Harrison Barnes guarding Franz Wagner. That's a really good matchup for Franz Wagner, and he can get downhill. He can get to the rim. And then once he gets there, there's no rim protection because Jeremy Sochan's your center. So typically against the Spurs, not a good matchup because Wembanyama really disrupts Wagner's game and Banchero's game, but he's gone. This is a completely different Spurs lineup. 23.5. I like this for Wagner.
Okay. SGP time before we flip over to Major League Baseball. What do you have cooked up?
Yeah. So I'm going to say with the Hawks Blazers game, I'm going to go Onyeka Okongwu 4+ assists. I mean, it's a big plus price, but I do think he can get there. I think the Klingon matchup will really, really help him on the passing front. I'm going to put him with Zachary Risacher 15+ points because of Okongwu's getting assists. It's going to be the 3-point shooters. And Risacher is coming off. I think he just had 36 and he hit a ton of threes. I'm also going to put the 2+ threes made in there. 2+ threes made doesn't really do anything for the SGP from like a price standpoint, but where it really does help you is a lot of these SGPs, you need 3 legs to catch a boost. There's a lot of boosts out there. So that's why I'm putting that in there. I think this really plays. I think it's very, very connected too. I think this one's very connected where you also could maybe look at George Niang. It wasn't available on the board anywhere. I think that's another guy where if he's knocking down shots, Okongwu gets over the assists, and then kind of you get green check marks across the board and everything. But I'm going to pair him with Risacher here. Hawks Blazers +529 here on SGP.
Okay, we'll come back to the NBA board momentarily, but let's flip over to Major League Baseball. 2 bets for me, a home run prop for John. Let's do my 2 first. Let's go down to Miami, where the New York Mets are in town. And I think a beautiful number here on Juan Soto to go over his hits, runs, and RBI. 1.5, it's at -125. I think this is just a beautiful number. If you look at a lot of the best hitters in Major League Baseball, they're in the -140, -150, -160 range. I think this is a really good spot to back Soto at this number. I think that's only going to grow the juice on that one. So he's off to a decent start here. Only four games, but he has gone over this number in three of the four. He has an OPS over 1,000. Sandy Alcantara on the bump here for the Marlins, looking to get back in Cy Young form. I don't think it's going to come anytime too soon. Kind of shaky in his debut versus the Pirates. Four walks in that game. A lot of hard contact allowed as well. And he does have success in his career versus Sandy Alcantara. OPS of 860 and 38 at bats. Marlins probably don't have the best bullpen either. With the Mets being on the road, he's going to be guaranteed at least four at-bats in this one. So over 1.5 there. And maybe more of a competitive game going down in New York between two teams off to hot starts offensively. The D-backs and the Yankees. I'm going to take the D-backs first five innings, minus 120. Let's throw the bullpens right out of this one. So, yeah, we all know the Yankees offense flying high with those torpedo bats. First in OPS to open the season, but Arizona right behind them, hitting with a lot more hard contact as well. We should note that. But so, yeah, the offense might be a wash here, but big time starting pitching advantage for Arizona. Corbin Burnes on the bump here. And he's been great against Yankees hitters. They have a combined 585 OPS against him in 100 at-bats. I faced him twice last season. He had 15 strikeouts, a 245 ERA, a 0.69 ERA, and two career starts at Yankee Stadium as well. Meanwhile, a young man by the name of Will Warren gets the start here for the Yankees. Do we have any Will Warren fans watching the program today? If so, let me know in the comments section. So he kind of got progressively worse throughout spring training. 8 total earned runs in his last two spring training starts, 16 total base runners. So this is a guy who had an ERA of 10.32 in 6 major league appearances last season. The only reason he is in the Yankees starting rotation is because Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt aren't available. So as a result, Will Warren is not pitching in the minors. He's pitching in the big league. So I do like Arizona to be leading at the end of five innings. John, you have a home run prop. Break this one down for us.
Yeah, I'm not messing around. Everyone keeps talking about the torpedo bats and why fight it? Let's just play a guy who's using one. So Elly De La Cruz used the torpedo bat yesterday for the first time. And he's like, oh, I liked it. He hit two homers. Of course he likes it. Obviously, it felt good. One of the homers, saw the highlight. It was like center field, like hit the back wall of like out past center field. Like it was a like crazy far. He absolutely nuked it. So I'm just going to play Elly De La Cruz. The projections are there. This is sitting plus 560. Projections have this price about plus 400. So there's an edge. It's not like I'm just randomly hitting the button here because has the torpedo bat. You're also at Great American Ballpark. The weather was like okay for hitting home runs. It's not great. It's not like the wind's like blowing out or anything crazy like that. But he's facing Nathan Eovaldi. Gave up 23 home runs last year, 12 to lefties. Elly De La Cruz is a switch hitter. And Elly De La Cruz last year, he hit 25 home runs, 19 against right-handed pitchers. So from the left side, that is where his power kind of comes from. So that matchup's the splits kind of play. I mean, honestly, I don't get why we're going to fight it. Just play the guy who's using the torpedo bat. Is it actually causing them to hit home runs? It does look like it. Like these guys are crushing baseballs. The one he hit to center field, I was like, that's like insanely far. I don't even know if I can hit the ball that far in MLB The Show. So I'm going to take Elly De Cruz plus 560.
Yeah, it's a fun topic. I think we're going to need a bigger sample size. It'll be interesting to see if more teams start using those. I spoke to Gary Sheffield Jr. this morning. We had our weekly MLB interview with him. So we're going to break that down in a bunch of other topics. So look for that later here on the Coverage YouTube channel. Before we do say goodbye, though, John, I want to head back to the NBA board because I find myself leaning in quite a few directions, but not feeling strongly enough to pull the trigger on a bunch of different bets here tonight. So first of all, the Bucks are favored by 5.5 over Phoenix, who's 2-11 when Kevin Durant is out of the lineup this season. Kind of leaning Bucks. I don't know, but the Suns gave them a good game. I think it was 2 weeks ago or so. So I'll stay away from that one. I think I like Poeltl to go over his point total, but we have the Bulls favored by 5 against the Raptors. Now, statistically, the Raptors have been pretty good, especially defensively lately, but you got to consider the level of competition. Toronto's been playing a lot of Utah, Wizards, Nets, like really bad teams lately. The Bulls, who had been better, but it's the second game of a back-to-back. They got smoked versus OKC in OKC last night, so they're traveling back. Kind of a similar situation for your Orlando Magic. Really, really bad offensive performance against the Clippers there yesterday. Now they go from Orlando traveling to San Antonio. The Spurs have been really bad, though, over their past three or four games now. So kind of lean the Magic there. And one that I would have absolutely pulled the trigger on probably, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago is the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. They're a 5-point underdog on their home court against the Warriors, who've been a bit up and down over the past 10 days, 2 weeks now. But second game of back-to-back, they hung with the Celtics for probably the first three quarters, maybe three quarters and change of that game. Celtics came through and covered for us, thankfully, there. But I don't know. Do you think this is a buy-low spot for Memphis? It looks like one of these obvious situations where every square better in the world is just going to take the Warriors. You think a buy-low spot for Memphis, potentially?
It's one of the bets I like really looked at last night. I looked at it multiple times, and you're kind of like struggling. You're like, I think math wise and like handicapping, when you use power ratings, all those things, I think there's an edge on the Grizzlies. I don't think they should be. The Grizzlies are one spot in front of the Warriors, hosting them in their own building, and they're a 5.5-point dog. That you wouldn't see that, like you said, if this was a month ago, you'd be like, no questions asked, give me the Grizzlies. But the NBA is so, it's also one of those things that you really got to manually think about some of these things sometimes. And like, you just fired the coach. It's a really weird scenario. It's not like they came out and won those two games after firing the coach. I know it was against the Lakers and the Celtics, two tough games, but they didn't look that great. They did come back against the Lakers. They got blown out last night by the Celtics. It's just kind of like those one a weird spot where it's like, no doubt, mathematically, I think the edge is with the Grizzlies. Do I feel comfortable placing a bet on the Grizzlies? I don't know yet. It's just such a weird scenario with Taylor Jenkins. I don't think we really know the full story. I think it's kind of one of those like, yep, I like it. I don't know if I can hit the button. I don't know if I can put my money on that. I feel like I kind of need to see a little bit more from the Grizzlies here. You brought the Bucks Suns. They're in a weird spot too, because it's like, okay, Durant's out. You could replace them with like someone off the bench, but like, are they just going to fold 10 here? Like, they're 11th seed in the West. Durant's out for a week. Like, are they even going to show up? So it's like the NBA is, it's like leaning season with NBA. It's like, you like a lot of things, but there's a lot of injury reports, a lot of like, where is this team's headspace at? So it's kind of makes you make a lot of manual adjustments. Drop in the comments if you think we should bet the Grizzlies. It's a great, great price on the Grizzlies. I just don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, hit up that comment section. Let us know what you were on here tonight. Lean season. Going to play it safe. Four bets overall for me, though, in the NBA and Major League Baseball, starting with Jakob Pertl over 14.5. Timberwolves plus 2.5. Juan Soto over his 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And D-backs first five innings minus 120. John, if you could recap for us, please.
Yeah, we're going on Yeko Kongwu over 2.5 assists plus 145. Franz Wagner over 23.5 points. Ellie De La Cruz with the torpedo bat to hit a home run, plus 560. And then Hawks Blazers SGP. Okongwu, 4-plus assists. Zachary Risacher, 15-plus points. And Zachary Risacher, 2-plus threes made.
Okay, that does it for today. Make sure you keep it locked here on the Covers YouTube channel. Lots of great content coming up as the week goes on. We're going to be all over the Final Four. We have the Masters. We have a big UFC coming up later on this month. So make sure you are subscribed. It makes our content much easier to find. Thank you guys very much for watching. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow, where hopefully we will be celebrating another winning day. We'll see you then.